Today on the Jay Doherty Podcast. It is a new year, and with that, there is a lot to come, particularly within technology. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing what technology I'm most excited for and digging through some recent rumors about products to come in the new year. All that and more on episode number 115 of the Jay Doherty Podcast.
Broadcasting live from downtown Chicago, here's your host, Jay Doherty.
That is correct, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Jay Doherty Podcast, the first episode of 2020, Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, 3:09 as we come on the air right here, right now on the internet radio and also, of course, on the podcast. There is so much to come in 2020, and I think the biggest, without a doubt, area of expansion for this year will be technology. Of course, it is one of the industries that evolves quickest, as we've seen in the past. And there's no reason to expect that it won't continue to do so in 2020, but there are a lot of things that I'd like to personally highlight and go through, and things that I'm subjectively excited for in the new year. So we're going to talk about all of that and more on this episode of the Jay Doherty Podcast. It's going to be pretty short. I'm going to try and keep it under 30 minutes, and go through every single piece of tech that I am excited for, at least the areas in which I am excited for. And there's some ones that are not even consumer-related. For example, space. Tons of articles about astronomy, particularly one in the New York Times by Michael Rosten, which is titled, Rocket Launches, Trips to Mars, and More 2020 Space and Astronomy Events. There will be tons of expansion of the, you know, in the astronomical field, or at least it's anticipated. Mars trips, space flight from the United States, and so much more. And what I'm really, really interested to see, and this goes beyond, I think, Elon Musk, is private space flight. Virgin Galactic, run by Richard Branson, conducted two successful test flights with a crew aboard in the past 13 months. Of course, Blue Origin, which seems to be pretty unknown in the world, which I was kind of surprised by. It's owned by Mr. Jeffrey P. Bezos. It's a space company. It's a private space company that has conducted 12 crewless tests, meaning no humans on board, of its capsule for short tourist jumps to suborbital space. If anyone wants to jump from suborbital space back down to Earth, please give Jeffrey P. Bezos a call, because I don't think that there are actually many people who would seriously consider jumping from suborbital space down to Earth. It's very, very risky, at least from what we know right now. China is also expanding their lunar endeavors. U-2-2 has just landed on the far side of the moon, and there's a lot more to come. So I think space is going to be a huge year for the future. Also, Japan is actually building a robotic moon base, according to NBC News. All I've been seeing here, and the only reason, besides Space Force and NASA, I don't think I've ever talked about space or astronomy on this podcast before, but there are a lot of astronomical sort of endeavors that are being taken upon by different countries in the world, and I thought it's really interesting that these are making the tech lists these days. Japan is building a robotic moon base built by robots for robots. So that's sort of interesting. Of course, we'll see a lot of self-driving cars coming to the roads more and more. Of course, military expansion. A lot of stuff with drones, which I'm actually going to talk about. I, for Christmas, was very, very lucky to receive a DJI Mavic Mini from my very generous parental guardians. I was able to get a DJI Mavic Mini. It is an incredible drone. I don't want to get too much on a tangent. I'm going to talk about it in a second, but I want to continue talking about tech that I'm actually excited to see in the future. tech that I'm sort of excited for to come in the future. A lot of it actually stems from Apple, surprisingly. There have been a lot of what MacRumors.com are calling sketchy rumors. In an article that was written two days ago, by Joe Rosengel, they say Apple plans to announce a high-end gaming computer at its annual WWDC Developers Conference in 2020, which usually takes place in June. We've had live coverage of these conferences many times before, and that stands for Worldwide Developers Conference, by the way. And that is according, this new announcement is according to a questionable and as of yet unsubstantiated report from Taiwan's Economic Daily News, which, to its credit, actually gets a lot of these leaks correct. Details are slim, but the report claims that the computer may be a large-screen laptop or all-in-one desktop with a price tag of up to $5,000, suggesting that it could be either a MacBook Pro or an iMac Pro. The computer would supposedly be tailored towards esports or competitive video gaming. So, of course, if you know anything really about Macs versus PCs, the Macintosh computer is infamously horrible at handling video games, whereas Windows certainly has many strengths. The operating system is really what contributes to that, because you can take a Mac and run Windows on it and game to your heart's content with crazy performance from your computer. It is not the hardware within the Mac, it's just the operating system on macOS, of course, which is, as you could probably tell, Mac's operating system. It is not designed for gaming whatsoever. Windows, however, is, and it's designed for other things as well. I personally, and this is probably a whole other episode, I personally think that for what I do and for what the majority of the population does, macOS and Mac hardware is just better. I know I will probably be insulted heavily for saying this, and I understand the many benefits of Windows, but the fact that, and I, this is very, very brief, I think AirPlay, AirDrop, the fact that it's a Unix-based system, the idea that it's almost impossible to have malware on a Mac, and so many other things. I know that's sort of a very broad and misconceived statement that's not doesn't have the clearest public perception, and many times you still do need malware protection on Mac. But the likelihood of running into a virus and being scammed and being wrongly taken advantage of by scammers and such on Windows is just exponentially higher than it would be on Mac. And I overall think that, I know these are sort of practical applications, but even before, I don't know, I don't want to get into it, but you can also, the thing that people like about PCs generally is the operating system, right? Windows. And of course, the hardware, too. I mean, people have, and this is really computer type stuff, so if you're not interested in computers, just skip ahead for the next 3 minutes. But you can almost, I mean, you can, of course, as you get more high-end in your computers, particularly within the new Mac Pro, which very few people can afford, including, I mean, pretty much 99% of the population would reasonably not be able to purchase this device, which has a base of $5,000 and a max of $53,000-something. I mean, it's ridiculously expensive, but you can upgrade and sort of have a modular system for changing out specific hardware. And this that idea, particularly within a Mac, is somewhat new, at least when it's done right. I think the Tower Mac Pro that came before it was not really well received by the public, or at least not as it related to the statistics. The statistics that came out of consumer data and how many people actually bought it. They tried to refresh it with the trash can in 2013, and now they've finally, in my opinion, done a really, really good job with this new cheese grater MacBook Pro that is insanely powerful. And same even with an iMac. Like, for example, I use an iMac. Now, that's probably very surprising because an iMac seems like, oh, well, you know, just a standard desktop user. Well, iMacs are actually really, if you do it right, they are the most cost-effective and most powerful computers that you could buy from Apple, in my opinion. You could get, for the same price of a standard iMac Pro, which, again, starts at $5,000, you get the same performance of a base iMac Pro with the same screen, just the different, and the same RAM, the same CPU power, actually even better CPU power, by the way, the Intel Core i9 versus the Intel Xeon W, which in many ways has better performance stats, not to mention a 2019 model versus a 2017 model. You can get all of that for more than $1,000 cheaper than a $5,000 iMac Pro. And this is for anyone. This is for professional computers. For example, I right now, and this is because I upgraded the RAM after, and I tried to upgrade the graphics card because I got a cheap base model of this computer. Or not cheap, but compared to what it would be worth right now if I sold it relatively cheap. I have a 3.6 gigahertz 8-core Intel Core i9 processor with 64 gigabytes, not 128, but 64 gigabytes of 2667 megahertz DDR4 RAM, which, of course, not the fastest RAM, but there's a lot of RAM. And I have an upgraded graphics card that runs externally. And I monitor the cores of these CPUs. I monitor all this stuff. But anyway, that's for another topic. Basically, my point is, the hardware in your computer matters only if you, it's hard to phrase this, but basically you have a lot more, even though this sounds so ironic, considering how locked down macOS operating system is in terms of, relatively to Windows, in terms of getting into actual system files and changing preferences very deep down into the operating system, which, by the way, very few people actually do, even though many people claim to do it, or claim to have the need to do it. There are many, many technical advantages to macOS, one of which, and predominantly, as I do, you can run Windows on a Mac. You cannot run macOS on a Windows computer. So you can take advantage of the hardware in one machine for a cheaper price instead of buying two things that are totally separate. You can partition your drives. For example, I have a 1 terabyte internal drive with so many external storage devices, that's hard to count, but I partition my internal hard drive, 800 gigabytes dedicated to Mac, and 200 gigabytes approximately dedicated to Windows. And I frequently use Windows. I use Bootcamp, which is automatically installed on every single Mac you could possibly purchase. So if, for those reasons and more, and many, many more, which I could dedicate a whole multi-hour episode to, Mac and macOS is better. Anyway, back to this new computer. I think it's really interesting. I think they did super well, and hopefully they continue this with the MacBook Pro 16-inch model. That was a phenomenal decision to be released, and especially for the price. For a 16-inch, true tone display, very, very bright display, and a very, very clear display, with a 6-core, 9th generation i7 processor, with 512 gigabytes at base SSD storage, an upgraded keyboard, which everyone knows if you ever used a MacBook Pro that came out after 2016 and before 2018, you know that the keyboard needs to be replaced. They previously on the Macs before 2016, they used a scissor mechanism to make these keys work. They continue to fortunately use the scissor mechanism on the keyboards that you use for your desktop, if you were to buy an external keyboard. But on the laptops, to save space for a number of reasons, they changed it to a butterfly mechanism. So instead of getting that deep press when you press on the keys, It would just almost feel like it would just be a loud noise, and it really didn't feel well. It would cause the keys to stick. My laptop, which I currently have the keys, for example, the D key, the X key, and the E key, when I press them, it just either stays and it presses that, like when I press it once, it types out six E's. It's really very annoying, and they've totally re-engineered the keyboard system on this new computer, and I anticipate they're going to continue doing so in the future. There was heavy, heavy backlash. In fact, not for this, but when they originally released the butterfly mechanism keyboards, there was heavy, heavy backlash. In fact, at one point they said, and they still, I believe, offer this, you can bring in your laptop and they will, for free, literally for free, this is still Apple that we're talking about here, they will let you, or they will replace your keyboard fully and fix, you know, and if you have errors with it, for example, if a key is stuck, you can get it fully replaced. And the other thing that they did better in the 16-inch MacBook Pro, the new one that came out the past year, I know we're in 2020 now, is they have made the escape key a physical key and separated the Touch ID sensor from the top touch bar. Genius things that are so simple but make so much sense to do. This is what happens when Apple actually listens to their consumers. They have not done that in the past, and they are starting to do that. And it's really, really well done. And to be honest, I don't know who's behind it, but I've seen Phil Schiller, the head of marketing for Apple internationally. He's done many interviews with just average tech YouTube consumers. They've began to, at least more noticeably, ship out these crazy high-end models of, multi-thousand dollars, almost, I think, $7,500 Mac Pros for free to YouTube creators because they understand the market impact that is achieved when they actually show these devices to average people on the internet, as opposed to, you know, just shipping them out to CNBC for the people who watch it in the morning, you know, as they're getting, you know, the hedge fund managers. They're getting in the hands of average people, and they're finally listening to the average consumer, even though, as Phil Schiller says, we're making pro products designed or that meet the needs of pros but are designed for everyone. And just looking around, I mean, the MacBook Pro is a fabulous computer, and it always pretty much has been. And I can tell you just by when I go to school, when I look around, when I see people just, you know, in a public library, there are many people who have MacBook Pros who I don't think are really pros. They don't need the amount of power, but Apple does such a good job enticing, of course, through their marketing, but also these computers are designed for everyone. They are not some intimidating pro machine. They look nice, they feel nice, it's the best experience you'll ever have on a laptop, and people like that. So they do that. And for this, the 2.6 gigahertz 6-core processor, 512 gigabytes of storage, and a 5300M AMD Radeon Pro processor, or graphics card, sorry, $2,399. That's a pretty decent price. And you get a 16-inch built-in display. Now, I would prefer a 13-inch display with all those specs, and I would probably upgrade a little bit, a couple of things. I don't need crazy RAM on my laptop. I'd rather just keep it at 16. But they also have an upgraded model where you can get eight cores on a laptop. Eight cores on a laptop. i9, by the way, which hopefully, and they did fix the fan problems, I assume. And you can go up to 64 gigabytes on that one, just like the other one with AMD Radeon Pro 5500M with 8 gigabytes of DDR6 memory. And you can go up to 8 terabytes of internal SSD storage. And again, you still have those four Thunderbolt 3 ports, USB-C, and then also a headphone port on the side. So you have all these amazing things. And if you were to max this laptop out, or at least the higher-end model, if you were to upgrade the CPU, upgrade the processor, upgrade the memory, upgrade the graphics, upgrade the storage, and get both Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro, the computer would be about $6,600. So, even though, I mean, very few people will actually, I mean, for this price, you could do a lot more cost-effective things. But very few people are going to max it out. I think it's actually a very reasonable price for the amount of value that you are getting. So, it's a wonderful computer, and they're finally doing what and listening to the consumer's needs, the average person's needs. But still, and this is what we've seen so frequently, they're making products that are for professionals. I think they've realized that, you know, what, as we've seen in the phones, for example, the iPhone 11 Pro. The iPhone 11 Pro has a ridiculous amount of power. 8 billion transistors in a phone. No, like, very few people actually need or could even try to push the power of an iPhone 11 Pro. But the way they market it, the way they sell it, the amount of power that it has within it, it's universally appealing, but can be pushed to such high levels. The only real, I mean, at least relatively speaking, the real pro computer that Apple makes is the Mac Pro. The one that goes up to $53,000. The one that you can have almost one and a half terabytes of RAM. The one where you can have 28 cores. I mean, you know, two Radeon Pro Vega 2 Duos with 64 gigabytes total of HBM2 memory each. I mean, in a graphics card for, you know, $10,000. I mean, that's a real pro machine, and very few people are going to need it, but it's almost like it's quick cash for Apple. The main generator of their revenue is their iPhone, obviously. I mean, so many people have iPhones, and you still see tons of people with Macs, but the majority, at least from what I read a couple years ago, is that money from Macs and pretty much almost every product that's not an iPhone goes back into development for other products and making it better. The main revenue generator for Apple is their iPhone. Now, I don't know if that still stands, but I read it before, and you can see that they're also trying to expand, and this is more getting into the finances of things here, their market sort of demographics and such, but they're trying to really, instead of, you know, peaking in September and December and, you know, times where people are buying gifts and times after these phones have hit major releases and such, they're trying to sort of continue to have recurring income into their company. You saw Apple News Plus, Apple Magazines, you see Apple TV Plus, and so many other subscription services, Apple Arcade, so many other subscription services that they're trying to have recurring income for the benefit of their company. And we've seen other companies do this as well. Disney with Disney Plus. And it's no coincidence that Apple has very good relationships with Pixar and Disney. I mean, there's so many, it's almost like incestuous how well thought out these plans are for expansion, especially when, even though it looks like they're serving the consumer, it in turn increases their stock price, which makes the billionaire investors happy. So, but at the same time, they're a great company. So, you know, it's very, very interesting to see how this works and such. But yeah, anyway, back to the rumors about a gaming laptop or gaming Mac computer. I'm very, very excited for that. And I'm very excited to see what happens. Anyway, I said I wanted to talk about my drone. We're 24 minutes in. Maybe we'll go over 30 minutes. I'm soon to fly my drone. I've flown it a couple times before. It's the DJI Mavic Mini. It is a phenomenal drone. Crazy quality. It does not do 4K. It does 1080p. But still, for the amount, I mean, it's an amazing drone. I really love it. The control is amazing. I've flown it in relatively high wind conditions, almost 20-mile-per-hour winds, and it has sustained so smoothly. The three-axis gimbal on the footage, not only that, but the physical drone in the air, it's like there's no wind at all. It is an amazing thing, and I'm about to fly it. I hope I haven't just jinxed it, because kind of windy right now. I think it's like 17 mile per hour winds, but I'm going to try it. I'm not going to go crazy, but I do want to see what happens. And I'm very, very excited about that. Speaking of drones, I was watching CNN earlier today, and there's a guy, General Wesley Clark, who is he's a former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, very important guy, who now comments on, you know, sort of ongoing military relations and such. His phone was ringing while CNN was happening with Jim Sciutto. And he literally took his phone out of his pocket and threw it, like, almost violently threw it. And I thought that was really amusing. And the only reason I say, speaking of drones and how this has any ties to what I'm just talking about, I know this sounds totally random, is because they were talking about drone strikes and such. I just wanted, just because I saw it and I thought it was funny, I'd share it with you. It's more funny when you actually see it, but you can just hear the reactions on CNN this morning. At about 9:07 a.m.
Some Saudi oil facilities, they were put back in place. They've shot down the, sorry about that.
That's the best reaction to a ring I've seen on the air. Nicely done, General, but go ahead.
Thank you. They caught it too. They've shot down a drone. So, I mean, this is a strategic problem, and the United States has to work.
Anyway,
this
I just thought that was funny. He was talking about drones, and all of a sudden he threw his phone, and that was that was pretty amusing. So that is that. I'm super excited. The other thing, AirPods Pro. Okay, I have to talk about these things. These are very, very nice headphones. They do a lot of things well. And that's almost my entire review. I got them for Christmas as well. I was very, very grateful for these, of course. I'm pulling them out of my pocket here. These are phenomenal devices, in my opinion. I think the best thing about them is not the quality, not the battery, not any of that. The way it works with iOS is incredible. You go in, of course, your volume settings on the regular AirPods, which, by the way, have sold incredibly well. Generally, you just put them in your ears, you play, you control the volume from your phone and such. These things, you have way more control. You have the regular, just off, you know, no mode, just you're listening to whatever you're listening to from your phone. You have this other thing called transparency mode, which is done shockingly well, and then you have noise cancellation. So the only one that's really not self-explanatory is the transparency mode. Basically what this is, and this is genius, and I don't think a company has done this better than Apple in terms of noise canceling earphones. What it does is takes the external microphones on these very small, compact AirPod Pros, and you can hear your outside surroundings inside your ear, even when music is playing. So if you want to, hear what's going on, if there's some announcement that's being made, but you don't want to take your AirPods out of your ears, you can easily, just from your phone, change the mode of listening into transparency mode, so you can hear what's going on around you. It's almost like there's noise cancellation, but this is like noise, sort of like opening the noise in a way. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, for example, Bose, well, for example, you can really tell that it's coming from a microphone. Like, it sounds like it's being muffled by a microphone. These literally sound like you're just hearing your surroundings. And then when you go into noise cancellation, it's incredible technology that they've implemented. I know this, it sounds like I'm falling for Apple's marketing. I know this has been done for years before, but I do think the way they've integrated it with iOS, not having to purchase an external app, doing this directly from Control Center, I really think that it makes up for all of the not great quality that you have in the actual device itself. The noise cancellation, though, at least from what I've heard, it's shockingly very, very well done and very unique in the way they designed it. So obviously there's an outward-facing microphone that detects external sound, but counters it with anti-noise and all that stuff. But this is the really cool thing, and maybe I'm just missing the game on here. They have an inward-facing microphone that goes inside your ear
for unwanted sound, which is eliminated with what they call anti-noise. So there is literally a microphone that is going into your earlobe that is detecting sound that generates maybe from the vibrations, from external forces, from anything, and it cuts that out too. So the noise cancellation on these things, scientifically and practically, is amazing. It's really, really awesome. The cancellation is continuously adjusted at 200 times per second for truly immersive sound, so you're fully tuned into your music, podcast, and calls. That's pretty cool. And I don't really know much about noise cancellation in terms of headphones and such, but 200 times per second on a thing that works very well with iOS and it's only $250 and has phenomenal battery, I think it's wholly worth it. Very, very well. So, very, very glad and very, very grateful that I'm able to use products like these and talk about them on this podcast. And there's a lot more that I'm excited for. Can't wait to keep an eye on Mac. Of course, we're going to see new iPhones come out in September of this year and just 9 months away. We're also rumored to see a new iPad Pro with 3 cameras on it, which is going to be cool, just like the iPhone 11 Pro and iPhone 11 Pro Max. There is a lot to come in 2020, not only in tech, but in so many other things, and I wanted to sort of bring that to you here on sort of this unusual edition of the Jay Doherty Podcast, episode number 115. I know this is probably way, way, way more specific than I should have gotten, sort of unorganized, but I wanted to talk about this stuff because I think it's really exciting. I'm about to go fly my drone. I hope everyone has a great New Year's Day and have great holidays. Continue to celebrate and have a great rest of your day, week, month, year, and life. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Farewell.
Jay Doherty Podcast is hosted, produced, edited, and mixed by Jay Doherty. TJDP is voiced by NewsMic VoiceOver, hosted by Blueberry, and edited with Audition. The Jay Doherty Podcast is a JD Media Network production. Copyright Jay Doherty 2019. Make sure to listen to other JD Media Network productions like the JDRC Politics Podcast for weekly discussions on international politics, or the Weekly File Podcast for all the news, just the facts. Learn more and hear more of this content at j-doherty.com or view archive clips and show highlights at thedoherty.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Jay Doherty Podcast.